Welcome to Torat Imecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ilana Flamenhaft, and today we will be studying Sefer Divrei Hayamim Bet Perek Hei. The next three prakim, chapters, describe the inauguration of the Beit HaMikdash, the temple. Our chapter begins, Vatishlam kol ha-melacha asher asa Shlomo leveit Hashem. Vayaveh Shlomo et kodshei David aviv, ve'et ha-kesef, ve'et ha-zahav, ve'et kol ha-kelim, natan, ba'otzarot beit Elokim. When all the work that King Shlomo undertook for the house of God was completed, Shlomo brought the things that his father David had consecrated, the silver, the gold, and the utensils, and deposited them in the treasury of the house of God. Rashi identifies what materials this pasuk is referring to by referencing a pasuk from Divrei Hayamim Aleph, chapter 18, that states, Gam otam hikdish ha-melech David la-Hashem, im ha-kesef ve-zahav, asher nasa mikol ha-goyim, me-edom u-mi-moav, u-bnei Amon, u-mi-plishtim, u-mi-amalek. King David dedicated these to God, along with the other silver and gold that he had taken from all the nations, from Edom, Moav, Amon, from the Philistines, and the Amalekites. The straightforward way to understand the verse, says Rashi, is that Shlomo used what he needed from what David collected and put the rest in the temple treasury. Rashi notes, though, that when Shlomo made the copper basin in the last chapter, it states that he used the copper that David collected, whereas we have no verses telling us which kelim, vessels, Shlomo made from the gold and silver. And therefore brings a midrash that suggests that Shlomo actually deposited all of the materials that David collected into the treasury and didn't actually use any of them. The midrash gives two reasons for this. One, Shlomo knew that the Beit HaMikdash was destined to be destroyed, and he did not want the nations of the world to be able to say, Kasha Yiratenu, our deity is strong, for it took revenge on this house, which was built from the loot and the spoils that David robbed from their idolatrous temples. The second explanation is that Shlomo said, there was a famine during the last days of David, my father, for three consecutive years, year after year. And Shlomo felt that when so many people were going hungry, it was morally wrong to keep such wealth from the poor. It should have been made available to those who needed it. So he didn't want to use the materials for the Beit HaMikdash. The inauguration continues as described in Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, where Shlomo gathers the Ziknei Yisrael, the judges, Sanhedrin, which were halachically required to be at the inauguration of the temple, as well as all of the heads of the tribes and the princes of the father's house in Yerushalayim to bring the Aron, the Ark, from Ir David, the city of David, to the temple. A brief recap. At the beginning of his reign, David HaMelech arranged for the Aron to be brought from Kiryat Yearim to Jerusalem amidst great rejoicing. Along the way, Uzziah, one of the drivers of the cart upon which the Aron was being carried, put out his hand to steady the Aron and was killed by God for touching it. David, in fear, left the Aron in the house of Oved Edom the Gittite for 3 months. After hearing that God had blessed Oved Edom because of the presence of the Ark in his house, David had the Aron brought to Jerusalem and housed in a tent in the city of David. Now it is being brought to its final resting place. We learn in Pasuk Vav, verse 6, that V'chol Adat Yisrael, all of the congregation of Israel also came to accompany the Aron to its place, and they brought so many sacrifices that they could not be counted. We are then given a lot of details about the Kohanim, the priests, bringing the Aron HaBrit, the Ark of the Covenant, to the Kodesh Kedoshim, the Holy of Holies, in Psukim, verses 7 to 9. In the center of the wall, dividing the Heichal, the sanctuary, from the Holy of Holies, there was an entrance which was covered by a curtain. We are told that the poles of the ark extended eastward so that they pushed against the curtain and were thus visible in the sanctuary as two protrusions in the curtain. In a midrashic vein, the rabbi said that it says in the verse, Vayera'u Roshei Habadim, the tips of the poles were seen, But v'lo yira'u hachutza, they could not be seen from the outside. How so? They pressed up against the curtain and protruded outward, so that they looked like the two breasts of a woman, as it says in Shir HaShirim, Ben Shaddai Yalin, he sleeps between my breasts. How do we understand this imagery? The Aron, as we will soon discuss, held the Luchot, the two tablets, the Torah, which provides spiritual sustenance to the people, just as a mother's breasts provide for a baby's physical needs. However, no holes were made in the curtain to actually allow the poles to run through, and they could not be seen from the outside. The verse ends by telling us that it remained this way until this day, Ad Hayom Hazeh, which must refer to when the Aron was hidden during the reign of King Yoshiyahu. We are now up to Pasuk Yud, verse 10, which discusses what was in the Aron, the Ark. Ein ba'aron rak shnei haluchot asher natan Moshe b'chorev asher karat Hashem im b'nei Yisrael b'tzeitam mimitzrayim. There was nothing inside the ark but the two tablets that Moshe placed there at Chorev, where God made a covenant with the Israelites after their departure from Egypt. The pasuk uses a double negative, ein, there was nothing, and rak, but. And the question is how to understand the use of both. The rabbis understand it to mean a positive statement, that in fact there was something else in the ark besides the tablets. One option is the Sefer Torah, which Moshe had written in the desert. Though, based on Devarim 31, it actually lay on the side of the ark. We read, Vayitzav Moshe et Leviim nosei Aron brit Hashem lemor. Moshe charged the Levites who carried the Ark of the Covenant, saying, Lakoach et Sefer HaTorah hazeh, v'samtem oto mitzad Aron brit Hashem elokechem, v'haya sham b'chal ad. Take this book of teaching and place it beside the Ark of the Covenant of your God and let it remain there as a witness against you. The Gemara in Baba Basra says that it was the shards of the first set of tablets which Moshe broke when B'nai Israel served the Cheta Egel, the golden calf. Uma ani mekayem ein ba'aron rak, lerabot shivrei luchot shemunachim ba'aron. And accordingly, how do I realize the meaning of that which is stated, there was nothing in the ark except? It teaches that something else was in the ark besides the tablets themselves. It serves to include the broken pieces of the first set of tablets, which were placed in the ark. Our pasuk is the first time we are learning about the shards of the original tablets being in the ark. It would seem that the moment that the Aron is brought to its final resting place is the appropriate time to tell us this matter of importance. What is the message of putting the broken shards of the original tablets in the Aron with the second complete set? One possible answer comes to us from the Talmud in Bracha, which teaches us, V'hizaharu b'zakein sheshachach talmudo mechamat onso, de'amrinan luchot v'shivrei luchot munachot ba'aron. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi further advised, and be careful to continue to respect an elder who has forgotten his Torah knowledge due to circumstances beyond his control. Even though he is no longer a Torah scholar, he must still be respected for the Torah that he once possessed. As we say, both the tablets of the covenant and the broken tablets are placed in the Ark of the Covenant in the temple. Even though the first tablets were broken, their sanctity obligates one not to treat them with contempt. An elder who forgot the Torah knowledge he once possessed is likened to these broken tablets. Moments of failure, disappointment, and loss can be so painful, but they also have a lot to teach us. Life is a journey. It is not always smooth or linear, but if we keep searching for meaning, connection, and holiness, we will climb that mountain again and see how close God has been this entire time. The last psukim of the perek describe how when the Kohanim, the priests, left the sanctuary, they were accompanied by Levite singers and priests blowing chatzotzrot, trumpets. We are told, Vayihi ke'achad, They produce music as with one voice, to praise Hashem, Ki Tov, Ki Li Olam Chasdo, for He is good, His kindness endures forever. When the singing began, the Anan, the cloud, filled the temple, and the Kohanim could not continue to serve, which is what we will explore further in the next chapter. Just picture it, the courtyard filled with people, innumerable sacrifices, singing, instruments. The moment the Aron is brought to the Mikdash, what it must have been like. The unity of the nation, the majesty of the temple, and the palpable presence of the Shechina filled the air with awe. We read and learned the words, but to actually witness the inauguration of the Beit HaMikdash was really to stand in a moment beyond words. This shir is dedicated Lezecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudit Bat Gedaliahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shivat Zion left an indelible mark on her many students.